I thank everybody for coming a night early to accommodate my exit schedule. But so now we're going to be looking at Parshas Chaye Sarah. It's a little bit of a daunting task with the Kli Yakar, trying to figure out which things to do, which things not to do. Each week I try to do something a little on the heavy side and a few things on the lighter side. So today we'll get a little more on the lighter side, because a lot of the things which I gave you are shorter. But at the same time, again, we're going to see the way that this man, by my friend Lynch's, thinks when it comes to putting together his commentary on the Chumash. So hopefully we'll get through the packet which I made, and it'll be good. Okay, so let's begin on page 106 in the Chumash. So the packet is the Kli Yakar's commentary, and the Chumash, of course, is on the table, or was on the table, if you didn't already take one. And that is the first pasuk in the Parsha. Vayu chaye Sarah mea shana v'yashrim shana v'sheva shanim shnei chaye Sarah. So the Torah tells us that Sarah's life was 100 years and 20 years and 7 years. These are the years of Sarah's life. Now, towards the end of the Parsha, we're given the death of Abraham as well. The next words after this are Vatama Sarah. Sarah dies. If you look on page 120, towards the very bottom of the page, the last third to last line on the page, we're told that page 120, Perichav Hei Pasuk Zayin. Perichav Hei Pasuk Zayin. We're told there, after Yitzchak marries Rivka, Avram takes another wife whose name is Keturah, and we'll hopefully get to her towards the end of our class tonight. He has 6 more sons with Keturah, and we're told as well that Avram gave everything that he had to Yitzchak and to the children of the Pilag Shim. He gave gifts. So who are the Pilag Shim? Maybe we'll get to that. Most people say that it's really just referring to Keturah. Why it's in the plural, the Pilegish is a concubine, why it's in the plural is a different question. But anyway, Pasuk Zayin, Ve'ela Yimei Shnei Chaye Avraham, and these are the years of the life of Avraham, Asher Chai, that he lived. What, somebody lives a life and doesn't live it? Well, maybe. Me'as Shana V'Shivim Shana V'Chameish Shanim, 100 years and 70 years and 5 years. Okay? So that point of Asher Chai, that he lived, is the first thing that the Kli Yakar addresses. So if you look back on the page, Vayu Chaye Sarah Me'a Shana, so now we're on the handout. Be'Avraham Ne'amar, Eila Shnei Chaye Avraham Asher Chai. With Avraham it says, these are the years of the Avraham's life that he lived. Hosif Lomar Asher Chai. He comes to tell us Asher Chai, that he lived, Ki Haya Ish Chai, because he was a man who was very much alive. Rav Paalim, Idias Hashem Kol Yimei Chayav, all his works, everything was in the advancement of his knowing God. Ki ben shalosh shanim hikir boro, because when he was 3 years old, okay, there are many opinions as to when it was that Avram recognized his creator, but he's following the viewpoint that says that when Avram was 3, he recognized his creator. Masha'in kein b'Yishmael, shasachuv b'vo'o, b'yamim, in comparison to Ishmael, whose death is also mentioned in those parts, but we didn't just look at it, but it is shortly after Avram's death is mentioned, Ishmael's death is mentioned. So it doesn't say Asher Chai, I believe, with Ishmael. I should have double checked it, but I don't believe that it uses that terminology with Ishmael. It just says Ve'ele Shnei Chaye Ishmael Me'ashana Shloshim Shana V'Sheva Shanim. It doesn't say anything about Asher Chai. So it doesn't mention that there, because Ishmael had a more tumultuous kind of life, and he was a chozer b'tshuva, somebody who returned to God towards the end of his life. Uvesara lo ne'emar asher chaysa. So Lana, this is a good reason for you to come. Okay, you have to hear the empathy that that the Kli Yakar has, and I don't want you to feel like he's being sexist. Okay, he's being empathetic. Why does it not say that she lived with regard to the life that she had? Because a woman has difficulty in labor and in pregnancy, and she is subject to the whims of her husband, and not all of her days are considered to be a full life. Okay, so what does that mean? Not, I don't mean a full life. Obviously, a woman can live a full life. But there is a there is an element of it, and there's a rabbinic tradition in this as well, with regard to the woman's plight. I don't call it a plight, that's probably not the best word, but with deference to her husband, which is not a certainly not a 21st century idea in terms of their relationship. But the point is that a lot falls on the woman, which doesn't necessarily fall on the man. And I think that it's something which we can all agree to. And so, in that sense, it's saying that it takes away. I mean, if you think about, just to look at last week's Parsha, the very end of last week's Parsha, look at the experience, the very different experience that Sarah and Avram had when it came to the Akedah. God tells Avram, take your son to a mountain and do whatever he told him to do. We discussed it a little bit last week. So Avram says, okay, I'll do it. And according to one view, Sarah hears that information, she dies. Okay, I mean, so you can't. It's like apples and oranges. You can't. It's not even apples and oranges. It's apples and you know, some other dominion of not even food. It's like apples and brook shelving. I mean, it's not the same thing at all. Very different kind of experience. Okay, so that's one view. V'yesh omrim she'Avraham lo chai kol yamav ha'ketuvim lo. Another viewpoint, and this follows along the lines, of course, with what Rashi says, that Avraham did not live the full life that he was destined to have. There is a Kabbalah, there is some of this idea that the forefathers were all supposed to live to be 180 years. The only one who made it that long was Yitzchak. Why did Avram made it to 175 and Yaakov made it to 147? Why Yaakov made it to 147? We'll probably get to in a few weeks, but why did Avram die at 175? So most people say because of Esav, right? Because before he saw Esav go off in the wrong direction, for nowadays we would say off the derech, right? So Avraham died a little early. So he says, Yeshem Avraham lo chai kol yamav ketuvim lo. He didn't live all of the life that he was supposed to. Shari nechzru min yamav chamesh shanim. He lost 5 years. Kedei shelo yira es Esav yotzei l'tarbus ra'ah. So he shouldn't see Esav going off in the wrong direction. L'kach ne'mar asher chai. These are the years of Avraham that he lived. But there were 5 years of Avraham's life that he did not live. And that's the point of that. And he says it in the next line. He had another few more years destined to him, but he didn't actually live in those years. So that's the perspective. Okay, so that's the first one which we saw. Nice little vort, two vorts. One, you know, you can take it or leave it as far as the life that a woman has, which is a different life, and that's the simple point that I wanted to make. And of course, the other one, which I think many of us were familiar with. Okay, we move on to Pasuk Beis in the Chumash. Pasuk Beis, second line, but Thomas Sarah b'Kiryas Arba hi Chevron. Sarah dies in Kiryas Arba, which is Chevron, be'eretz Canaan, in the land of Canaan. Vayavo Avraham l'spod l'sarah v'liv kosa. So we're going to look at a lot of this stuff. Note, of course, in the word v'liv kosa that there is a small cuff. Okay, and as we saw in Parshas Bereishis with the word behibar am, el todos hashemayim va'aretz behibar am. So the hey is small, so the kliyakar jumped on that. So here too, he's going to jump on the small letter. It's coming to teach us something. What is it coming to teach us? Okay, but the first piece that is going to be addressed here is the question of Kiryat Arba hi Chevron. What does that mean? What's the name of the city? Is it Kiryat Arba? Is it Chevron? Is it both? And if it's both, so how did that come about? So kliyakar says, "Vatamas Arab Kiryat Arba Chevron." B'yalkut Mesik. The Yalkut teaches us. Yalkut is usually the Yalkut Shimoni. Shahaya l'makom ze arba ashemos ve'elohen. That this place actually had four names. And these are the four names. Eshkol, Mamre, Kiryas Arba, and Chevron. Again, Eshkol, Mamre, Kiryat Arba, and Chevron. And he says, and I want to explain why they have these four names. And he goes on to describe, I'm going to skip a line, but he says that they all reflect different ways that a person can die. Okay? Take a look at towards the end of the third line. Ki yesh misa she'ada meis b'cheto. There is one kind of sin where a person dies in their sin. Kamo she'ne'emar ki b'cheto meis, right? Referring to Slavcha, the daughters of Slavcha say that he died in his sin, whatever his sin was. But it's causality. The person did something wrong and they die on account of it. V'yesh misa b'avon achirim. And there is a kind of sin that comes about because of the sins of others. Sometimes children die because of the sins of their parents. And by the way, anytime that happens, and unfortunately it happens, as we all know, it is very wrong to suggest to the parents that this happened because of you. Some parents actually have a guilt complex. They feel, what did I do? And we certainly don't know the ways of God. And to point fingers like that is despicable behavior. And it was actually somebody in our shul who lost a son in the last couple of years. And he told me at the shiva that somebody else who had similarly lost a son, the son died of an illness, it was a terrible illness. Somebody else who had lost a child to similar circumstances came in and told him, the first thing you have to know is that you can't blame yourself. And he said that was very, very, very helpful, because he was blaming himself. So that's the, even though we understand this, and the truth is that the Torah addresses this, and some say that the sons of Aaron died on account of Aaron's role in the golden calf. Different world. I'm not going there. Anyway, so sometimes that happens. V'tzadik nahanispas ba'avon ador. Sometimes a righteous person dies because of the sins of the generation. They don't deserve to have that righteous person. Again, what that means, I'm not going to go there. V'yesh asher b'li avon yirutzun min olam. Mitzad amisa tivis superior arba yisados. Okay, and there are people who die naturally, right? Old age, and that's the one which we are hopefully most familiar with. Eventually everybody dies. Well, yeah. Except that there's one more. And then there is the death with a kiss. And that is the way that the righteous die. And he goes on to just explain what that means. Skip a line. Okay? We're going to go to... after there are two words on the line, Mechuberes Shema, Shama, and then there's a period. So it's the third one on the line after a period. Uchenegdam bo arba shemos elu. So paralleling these four different types of death, we have these four names associated with the city. Ha'ochim aminem yisa'elu, that parallel these kinds of death. Mamre, the name Mamre is keneged hames bechet o. Milashon Mamre ma'yisem im Hashem. Mamre refers to the kind of person who dies because of their sin. Mamrim ha'yisem im Hashem. You rebelled against God. The people who rebelled against God, the first generation in the wilderness. What happened to them? They died in the wilderness. Many of them probably prematurely. Okay, because if they were over 20 at the time of the sin of the golden calf, then by the time they were a little over 60, even the youngest of those, they died.
Why is that? Because of the sins of the generation. Some of them were not rebellious.
Correct, but they there was a collective punishment there.
So it's the sins of generation, not their own sin.
Okay, but the point that he's taking is he's not using their deaths as an example, although the truth is that I think that they are all grouped together. In other words, how many times does Moshe say, you guys all did it? So people were culpable. How many people supported Yoshua and Kalev?
Yeah, right.
Okay, so there that's the answer.
What's the relationship between that form of death and Mamre?
The word Mamrim means rebellion, and Mamre is the same word. Umilashon Zaken Mamre, also a rebellious elder. Eshkol, the second name of the city, Keneged Hameis Bavon Achirim Anos Anasin Shkulim Imenu. Okay, Eshkol and Shkulim, that's the plan words, that the person becomes culpable or succumbs to death on account of others. Somebody who buries his children is called a shakul. We're going to see in next week's parsha when Rivka says to Yaakov, "Time for you to leave because I don't want to lose both of you, or whoever the two of them are." It's an interesting interpretation, but one the most simple pshat is she's saying, "If you're going to die, Esav's going to die the same day, so I don't want that." Lama eshkal. No, it's a different kind of death than the person who dies on account of their own sins. Okay, skip to the next line after the period. Kiryat Arba, al shem Amisa Tivis. The name Kiryat Arba refers to the natural death. Pirud Arba Yisodos. I don't know what Arba Yisodos is, but it refers to the kind of existence and the kind of life that we have. Ki Adam Irk Tana, because a person is a little city, right? Any scientist will tell you there's a lot going on in your little, in your little city, okay? V'kiryat Arba, okay? And so it's a place that is that has four cornerstones which hold up the city of your existence. So that's the natural death. And Hebron, what is Hebron? Al Shem HaChibur, the union that takes place between the person and God through the kind of person who dies with Misas Binashika, who somebody who dies with the kiss of death. Misas HaTzadek Sarah. And so the answer, why it only says that Sarah dies in Kiryat Arba Hi Hebron, what he says, look, it should have mentioned Eshkol and Mamre as the other names of the city. He says, no, you're only going to mention those two. Why? Because that's not how she died. She died in the last two ways, of a natural death at old age, or relatively old age for her, in comparison to what perhaps she could have, which is a different conversation, and the Misa Benashika, the kiss of death.
I once heard a description of dying like plucking a hair from the surface of a cup of milk.
Okay.
It's so...
Like in like rabbinic nothing. In rabbinic literature?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm not familiar with it, but
sounds like the kiss.
Okay, so, right. So, okay, could be. So umisa zatzadekasar loyisam itzad shnei minim arishonim sheyesh bem saravon. It wasn't of the first two kinds, which have sin attached to them. Elam itzad shnei minim asher b'li avon yirutzun. But it was based on the ones which did not have any sins attached to them. Lakach ne'amar v'tamasar b'kiryas haba hi chevron. Okay, so I think we understand. It's just a beautiful depiction of how Sarah's death came about, and noting the different names of this city. And by the way, it's not so far fetched. For we see this in other places as well, that a city would have multiple names. We're going to see it. Yaakov comes to Luz at one point. Well, Yaakov Luza, and a different time we see that it comes to. Beit El, I believe, and Ulam Luz Shema Yer L'Rishona. Okay, Luz was the name of the city. There's an airport in Israel, Ben Gurion. Once upon a time it was called Lod, whatever it is. So you see that things could have different names, and sometimes the names are they both are in existence. What's Staten Island sometimes called?
Richmond.
Okay, is it still called that? I don't know, but people know the answer. People know the answer to the question. Okay, so there you go. All right, next. What about the Kaf? Vayavo Avram, so let's continue. Where we skip to the next paragraph. Vayavo Avram, let's build this Arava Livkosa. So he asks the question. Well, I'll just, instead of asking the question, we'll just read it. He says, Milas Lisarach Nisben Advekim. Okay, in other words, Avram is going to come and Lispoda Sarah means to eulogize, Vilivkosa means to cry. So when you come to a funeral, what do? You eulogize and you cry. Right? Right? Okay, so that's an interesting question. I think he mentions that, and I believe I skipped that for tonight. Okay, but or maybe that's actually in here. Could be. I don't remember what I knocked out. Oh no, it's probably here. But he says the wordless Sarah doesn't appear there. So Steve, you're right. It should say Vayavo Avraham lispod vilivkos as Sarah, right? To eulogize and to cry, or if you want to mix around the order, it should be. It's a different question. Why is the order mixed around? But why is the word Lissarah in there? Ki haya lalamar lispod v'livkosa Lissarah. It should say he came to eulogize and to cry for her. Gam kulomi yusar. Even just the whole word Lissarah is extra. Ki haya lalamar lisovda v'livkosa. That he came to eulogize her and to cry. We obviously know. It says she died. So you don't have to tell us the word Lissarah again. So again, this is just classic Kliyakar's approach, where he'll find a word, or in some cases a letter, and he'll say, it's wrong. It doesn't belong here. So it must be coming to teach us something. Gamakom achom. So here's your question, Steve. Your point. Habechi kodem lahesped. Crying always comes before eulogy. Okay. So why is the eulogy first? Ukan muklefa says she did. Here it's turn around. Okay. Ki b'chom achom she. It says, in every situation, you have 3 days of crying and then 7 days of eulogy. That's what the Gemara Moi Katan tells us. And the reason is because anybody who dies, the mourning, as time passes, people, they move on. And eventually everything's forgotten. Now, obviously, for the individuals who lost, maybe they never forget. But for the rest of the world, you know, you lost. So now it's easier for me. You tell me you had a yard site. It's okay, you're neshama shav and aliyah, but I never knew your parents. So for the rest of the world, you move on. That's just what it is. Right. Omnam, he says, however, it's tzadek azo, but when it comes to Sarah, this righteous woman, every day, the feeling that accompanied her being no longer around became greater and greater. Mitzad eder torasa maasa, because her Torah was gone and her deeds were gone, atovim shenevdu l'dorah, which were lost in her generation. And we know this. We know that we feel this all the time. When it comes to the great righteous leaders, the great Torah scholars, when they're gone, right, people say, well, where's Rav Moshe? Who's the Rav Moshe of today? Right? And any generation, when they say, we're missing those who we feel the void. And that's why the eulogy came first, because the bechi, the crying, never ended.
Why did it say Sarah twice?
Yeah, we're getting there. Okay, that's the next question right now. Kol mi shemeso ishto rishona. The rabbis tell us in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, anybody whose wife dies first, or maybe it's referring to his first wife, but in either case, ki ilu charav beis hamikdash b'yamav, it's as if the beis hamikdash was destroyed in his days. In other words, the loss that he feels is it's the destruction of his world. Al kain, therefore, mitchila ba lispod l'sara. Avram had to do a hesped for Sarah first. It's not lispod vilavkos, lispod l'sara. Boom. That had to be taken care of. And only after that hesped, only after that eulogy was done, could he go on to cry. He had to give a hesped, bavura, on her behalf, or for her. But he didn't cry yet. But he didn't cry over her. Why doesn't he cry? Okay, for some people, when they say, when they look at the death of a loved one, for example, some people, they don't cry. We had this recently. Was that a shiva? Oh, yeah. Okay, our most recent shiva. His mother died. She was 5 days shy of her 99th birthday. Okay? And he says to me, look, I miss her terribly, but I'm not crying. You know why? You know why? Because I know where I know she's in a good place. I know she's in and she wasn't even sick. But he says, I know she's in an amazing place, and that's where she needs to be. And obviously, when a person is blessed to live that long, you can have that kind of feeling. Miss the person terribly. But to be able to say, I'm not sad in the way that I should be crying. Like we often see people cry. But it's a madrega. It's such a great level to be able to see such a thing. So Avram, he's saying that Avram's not crying right away. So he does hesped for Sarah because he has to. But to cry? No. What does he cry for? Okay? It's not about Sarah. It's about the loss that he is suffering because his wife is no longer there. Where she is, good place. Nothing to cry about. But the loss of his Beis HaMikdash, which is Sarah, of course, that is something to cry about. Even kings of peace, they're going to cry over destruction. And that's why it tells us the word Sarah first, after the hesped, after the eulogy. Because he felt the loss. Asher Ayagovu Mea Amma, the loss of a Beis HaMikdash, which was 100 amos tall. Again, this is a metaphor. Obviously, a woman is not 100 amos tall. No person is 100 amos tall. But that's the loss that he felt. Al Kain Ba HaRemez B'Kaf Katana. He says, so that's why there's drawing of attention to the letter Chaf. Because what is the letter Chaf? Again, you know, you may not like this, but he says, Chaf, if you spell out the letter Chaf, it's Chaf Fei. Chaf is 20, Fei is 80. And that together equals 100, and that's the hint of what it is that he's crying over, the loss of something which is like 100 amos tall. Right? So lomar kiyul nismatu osan meya amav anasuk tanim. It's as if that 100 amos was just cut down And it's a tiny thing with nothing left. Vezerem is yakar. This is a very precious hint. Okay, so we have a few answers. You can like them or not like them, but that is what it is. And the last thing about Sarah, which he says, is this. Look at the very last thing on the page. Davar acher hiskir l'Sarah lomar lach shalat musa lo espoid vayavo Avram l'spod l'Sarah, not l'spod es Sarah to do a hesped for about Sarah, but l'spod l'Sarah. What does that mean? Lomar lach shalat musa lo espoid. He didn't give a hesped about her essence. Everybody knew who she was. Her, sometimes we say about a speaker, so-and-so who needs no introduction. Right? And the same thing was true about Sarah. Sarah didn't need a hesped. Everybody knew what they had lost. Ki adah sharak harev shimshayo ba'olam hazeh, because he knew that her son had only said in this world, aval ochel asi b'trumas peri primaseh l'olam haba, but she was eating of the fruits of her deeds in the world to come. So what did Avram give a hesped for? Rak al shema hesped. He gave a hesped on her name. Ki haisa Sarah al kol olam b'chachmasa. Because she was, what does the word Sarah come from? Some people say princess, ruler. She was on top of everybody in this world with her wisdom. The oil of Dora. Sha'abdu shirara zo mitzad chachmasa ma'asa. And what a loss it was for her generation to lose this Sarah. Aval of Koska, but to cry for her, Vachabechi Katan, he had a very small cry for her, and that's another explanation for the small chaf, to indicate that there wasn't a major reason or a major cause for crying over Sarah's death per se, because of where she was on her own level, what her Olam Haba was all about, what she had achieved in this world. It was all beautiful, nothing to cry about. A personal loss, different story. A small cry, yeah, there is, I mean, anybody who doesn't cry at a death is heartless. But the degree of the crying really depends on the person's experience. Okay, we move on. Okay, so he does address some of the things related to Ephron. I chose to skip it to get into more interesting things. Okay, pasuk Perachov Dalet on page 108 on the bottom. Perachov Dalet. We're told the Avraham zaken bayamim that Avram was old and coming on in years. Hashem berachas Avraham bakol. And Hashem blessed him with everything. Next pasuk as well. Vayomer Avraham el avdo zakan beso. So Avram said to his servant, the elder of his household, Hamushel b'chol asher lo, who ruled over all that was his, Simna yadcha tachas rechi, place your hand under my thigh. And he goes on to have this fellow swear that he's not going to take for Yitzchak a wife from the daughters of Canaan, Asher anochi yoshev b'kirbo, the end of the third line, Asher anochi yoshev b'kirbo, amongst whom I am living. Okay, so that is the agreement which they make, and the fellow swears, and then we go on from there. Now, who's this fellow? Most commentaries identify him as Eliezer, and we'll just accept that for what it is. The only reason why he's identified as Eliezer, because in Parshas Lech Lecha, we found out that Avram has a servant whose name is Eliezer. So that's where it all comes from. He's mentioned by name only one time in the Torah, but I don't know of anybody who identifies him in any other way. So we'll just accept that. Okay, Avraham Zaken came by him. So now I'm back in the page. Harim Farshim Tamu. Halok Far Nema Avram Visaraz Zakinim Bayim Bayamim. You know that when the three angels came to Avram and Sarah in last week's Parsha to tell them they're gonna be having a baby, which was 41 years before this episode, we're already told that they are getting old and getting on in years. So he says, "V'haya k'mo shloshim v'sheva shana ben shnei zmanim elu." There's like he says, you know how in English some people use the word "like." It's like this. So he actually says, "V'haya k'mo." It was like 37 years. It wasn't 37 years. It's more closer to 40, 41. Okay. No, this is after Sarah's death, and we know that Yitzchak marries Rivka when he's 40 from next week's parsha. So if Avram was 100 when Yitzchak was born, and he's now Yitzchak's going to be married at 40, so it's more than 37 years. I don't know why he says that number. But anyway. The Midrash tells us that in last week's parsha, when we're told about the birth of Yitzchak, that they were that they, their personal body clock turned back. So that's one view. Skip to the end of that sentence after the period. It's saying that this is just a reference to the passage of time, but it doesn't mean that they've arrived at a certain stage. That at that time they were coming and going in the days. So there's a difference between ba'im, because ba'im indicates a fluid back and forth, as opposed to ba, which seems to indicate an arrival, that Avram has arrived at older age. Okay, so that's the first part. But I think more importantly is the next paragraph. According to the simple understanding, we can say take that two are better than one, and the three-stranded rope cannot easily be torn apart. This is a pasuk from Koheles, and we're going to see. In some of the things that we're going to be seeing, I don't know how many of them I kept, but he utilizes Koheles a number of times to prove a point about Avram's experience. So he says, "V'zeki aisha tova mosefes labalo chayim." It's another good reason to be here. Okay, good wife. A good wife adds years to her husband's life. Okay, kemoshen emar re'e chayim im isha, as it says in Koheles, see the life with the woman that you love. Now, obviously, these are aphorisms. Is it always true? As is the case with Avram, we know that sometimes a wife predeceases her husband. Obviously, in more cases, it's the other way, but it's not always that case. The haben hatov mosif gam kein chayim l'aviv. So again, just using the aphorism from Koheles, it's not a causality. Obviously, many different life circumstances are what they are, and I don't want to suggest that what he's saying is in practical terms, correct. But the point is that he's just trying to use the terminology from Koheles to prove a point. Is it the point? No, it's a point. Ve'ben atov, and a good child, mosif gam kein chayim le'aviv, should add years to the father's life as well. Kol ha'ami ben tzadik kilu lomeis, there's an expression in Chazal that anybody who leaves over a righteous son is as if he doesn't die. Obviously, a person dies, nobody lives forever. But it means that he leaves a legacy. So his legacy doesn't die when he dies. Kal v'chomer b'chayav, and certainly in his own lifetime, that child serves as a enhancement and a strengthening of his life. Lefikach, therefore, min leidas Yitzchak ad misa Sarah haya achut mishulash. From the time of Yitzchak's birth until Sarah's death was a three-stranded rope. Very strong. And for Abraham, that was like the best time of his life. The best time of his life. He nitos for the Abraham chius mitzad isha mitzad b'no Yitzchak. In Abraham's case, he had strengthened days from his wife on the one hand, and from his son on the other hand. Uvachol yemim alalu ayah omed b'ma'amar echad lo nitos for b'chul shakim min agazkenim. He didn't get any weaker during all that time that he had Yitzchak around and Sarah at the same time, as is the case with other people who do age. He hayulo yemei simcha ubracha, because he had days of joy and blessing. But before Yitzchak's birth, the only simcha that he had was from his wife, but no child. So before Yitzchak's birth, he could say that he was ba Avram zaken ba bayamim, that Avram was getting old. And after Sarah's death, the only joy that he had was from one side, from Yitzchak, and not from his wife, who was no longer there. And that's why, before Yitzchak's born, we're told, Avram v'Sarah zakenim. After Sarah's death, we're told, Avraham zaken. So before Yitzchak's birth, after Sarah's death. And that is the explanation. Lefikach. Nemar lashon echad al shnei zmanim. That's why the same language appears in both places. Skip to the period. Lefikach, hayim hader tekech lasiyah isho. And that's why Abraham, as soon as he noted Sarah's death and what it was doing to him, and he knew what it had done to him when he was, you know, how better off he was when his wife was around, and how even more so how better off he was when Yitzchak was born, what did he want to do? He wanted to, as quickly as possible, marry Yitzchak off. He thought that maybe Yitzchak's wife would be able to fill the place that Sarah had left vacant. And Avram would be able to be joyous with her around, just as he was with his own wife. Skip to the after the parenthesis. Vayiriya Yitzchak ha'oela Sarah v'harehi imo. Ha'oela Sarah imo v'harehi imo. Essentially, what Rashi says is that Rivka does take Sarah's place, and that is a good connection that Avram made through the zivuk, through the marriage that took place with Yitzchak. Okay, moving on. So again, just to see what we take there is a viewpoint as to what the relationships can be like, and what they can do for certainly what they did for Avram, and perhaps what they can do for any man in his lifetime. Hamoshel b'chol asher lo. So this is an interesting language. This is what we call a dangling modifier. When the Torah says Avram calls over his servant, the zakan beiso, Hamoshel b'chol asher lo. So the simple pshat is that who is this servant? He's a person who's in charge of all of Avraham's affairs. Hamoshel b'chol asher lo. But the Kliyakar says no, that is not what it is referring to. Actually, Hamoshel b'chol asher lo is referring to how Eliezer was in charge of his own stuff. What I mean? Let's take a look. Ki ra'o so ne'eman b'chol beisohu. He saw that he was trustworthy in all of his house. Alkei ne'emino shelo yikach shochad. He saw that he would not take any bribes. V'yisal b'no isha she'ina hagunalo. And he, in order to marry off his son to a woman who was not proper for him. Ki lama yikach me she'ina roilo. Why would he take something which is not proper? V'alohu moshel b'chol ha'shelo. He is one who is in control of all that is his. All that is whose? V'nuchal lomar shemilas lo shavel Eliezer. That the word lo goes back on Eliezer. That he is in control of all of his own stuff. All of his own stuff. V'vishikol ma'ashuhu lohut achachem da'as ha'mamon harei mamono shalit alav al kol asher yachpots yitanu. Okay? That there is a person. There is a kind of person who is controlled by chemda samamon, the desire for money. But that was not the case with Eliezer. Avalhu eno shalit al mamono klal, kemosh nemar isha sheyitain lo Elohim osher v'chavod v'nechasim lo yashutenu Elohim lechol mamono. Kohelet says a person to whom God gives all kinds of wealth, but doesn't give a person the ability to have control over it. So what's it all worth? V'avale lomar isha shenasan lo Elohim ki yitain lahabam mashma. When it says that there's a man to whom God is going to give, ki yitain means he's going to give in the future. So that's referring to a person who has, but he's not sameach b'chalko, he's not happy with his portion. And he's always wanting for God to give him more. So that person is never happy because the money controls him. Ki tamid ein lo dai, he never has enough. That is the person to whom God doesn't give the person the authority to eat from his money. Because his eye is bad on all that he has. But in an earlier verse, it says, Gam kol adam asher nasanu Elohim osher nechasim mishlito lechol mamon zomatas Elohim. A person to whom God gives wealth and gives him the ability to have control over it, that is a matas Elohim, that is a gift of God. So his kir nasan lashon avar, there it says asher nasan lo, that God gave him. In other words, the gift is that he's able to control how he utilizes and appreciates his wealth. That is a different story than the person asher yitain, who always wants God to give him more. Who is this more ideal person? Zeha mistapek, the person who is satisfied with sameach b'chelko, and joyous with his portion. That's the person who is in control of all that he has. And this person is not going to take something which doesn't belong to him and which he doesn't deserve. And that is the trust that Avram had in Eliezer, that he was Moshel b'chol asher lo, that he was able to control all of his own desires. Okay? Now, when it comes to the question of why does Abraham give the instruction to Eliezer not to take a child from the, not to take a wife rather, from the daughters of Canaan? And he has Eliezer put his hand, tachas erechi, under his thigh. Why under his thigh? What's the classic explanation? Where is he putting it? Where is he putting his hand? What's the classic explanation? I think Rashi says this, right? On the bris milah. Why on the bris milah? It's like, put your hand on the Bible. Well, there was no Bible. So what are you going to do? The only thing of Kedusha, the only thing of holiness that Avram has is his bris, is his covenant with God. It's the most precious thing that he owns. So if that's the case, then that's fine. There are other interpretations of what Simna Yad Chatachas Rechi, but he follows, but the Kliyakar follows that one that says that, that it's referring to the bris milah, the circumcision. Hishbiyo b'milah, says he had him swear on his circumcision. Because on account of circumcision, a person is supposed to be curbed to a degree from being engaged in sexual promiscuity or immorality. This is why he said, "Don't take a daughter for my or a wife for my son from the daughters of Canaan." Ki azima Yerusha etzlam. Because what does Canaan represent? Where does Canaan come from? Anyone remember who's Canaan? Cham. Canaan's the son of Cham. And where and why is when Noah curses Cham, what does he say? Arur Cham? No. He says Arur Canaan. Cursed is Canaan. Who's Canaan? Where did he come from? There's a whole Torah on the conception and the birth of Cham. That there was a moratorium on marital relations for humans and animals on the ark. And who violated it? We talked about this in Parshas Noach. The dog, the raven, and Cham. And what was the result of Cham's breaking that moratorium? Canaan. And so Canaan is cursed, and Cham is cursed because he's cursed through his son. And so there's this attachment to sex. That's really what this is all about. That Avram is saying this is inherent in who they are. Is it racist? Nowadays we would call this racist. Yeah, but that's who they are. But the truth is that's the MO of Canaan throughout the Torah. Anytime the Torah describes Canaan in a negative way, the people of Canaan, that's the way the Torah describes it. Ki azima Yerusha etzlam and Cham avi Canaan. It all comes from Cham. Ki yesh omrim sherev lenoach. Some say that he sodomized his father. Okay, that's what Cham did. Somebody who is circumcised should not be connected to these people, to the people of Canaan. Okay, why? Because it's on account of the circumcision that Avram blessed, that Avram was blessed. And that's the reason why Cham was cursed. Okay, moving on. Okay, so this is if you didn't like anything you heard up until tonight, this should be worth your night. Okay. Now later on, Eliezer is going to explain. He's going to change. He changes a lot of things. Not a lot. He changes probably it's between 7 and 10 details of his story when he tells over the entire story to Rivka's family. And one of them is, this point. On page 114, 3 lines from the bottom, he tells the Rivka's family, Vayashbi'eni Adoni Lemor, my master made me swear, this is Perek Chavdal at Pasuk Laman Zayin, my master made me swear, Lo Sikachi Shalivni, don't take a wife for my son, Ibinosa Kanani, from the daughters of Canaan, Asher Anochi Yoshev Be'artso, in whose land I am living. Is that what Avram said? No. Avram said, Asher Anochi Yoshev Be'kirbo, amongst whom I am living. Okay, so why did he make that change? So generally speaking, in the changes that Eliezer makes in telling over the story and in the narrative in general, We tend to say the reason why he made the change was because he needed to convince Rivka's family to let her go with him. And if he had said things in a way that they actually happened, they would have looked at him like, oh, that doesn't make any sense, or there's something wrong with what you're just saying, or there's a contradiction, or there's a problem, or no, she's not going. Okay, and we know from last week's Parsha, Gemara tells us about Avram and Sarah, right? That God tells Avram, why did Sarah laugh saying, I'm old? What did she say? She laughed saying, he's old. Okay, and why? So what's the point, the Gemara says, that you can do a little bit of a lie for the sake of shalom bayis, okay, for the sake of promoting peace in the home. So in this type of case, it wasn't shalom bayis yet, but he wanted to create an opportunity for shalom bayis, for Rivka to be brought back, because he knew she was the right girl, but he just needed the family's permission. So, the chiyadayin, so back into the Kli Upper, okay, last paragraph on the second page here. The chiyadayin lo yadanu, shehu yoshe b'kirbo, did we not, so Avram says, I'm dwelling amongst them. Do we not already know that? Aval shebal etaritz b'zekusha. Coming to answer a question. V'zeki mistama, tziva shalai yischatei b'benos ha'kanani pen yilamad b'ma'asayhem. And maybe the reason why Avram didn't want Yitzchak to marry into the Kanani families is because he didn't want Yitzchak to learn from their ways. Kederach shenemar b'Torah, as the Torah says, lo sischatei b'am. Don't marry into the other nations. Because what's going to happen is, when your son marries into the daughters of the other nation, he's going to hang out with them, and eventually he'll follow their ways. And that's something which you want to avoid. So what does Avram do? Brilliant strategy. Im kein, if that's the case, ma yarviach im yisa isha mebenos lavan ubesuel. So if you're concerned that when your son marries into a family of idolaters, so Avram, like, I mean, don't you know who you're dealing with? You accepted monotheism. Nachor's family didn't. And who's Nachor's dad? Terach. And what was Terach? Terach was an idolater. So you think that Besuel and Lavan are any different? They're going to be, you know, the daughter that you're going to get from that family is going to be idolaters too. Now, of course, by the way, Avram doesn't say, get a wife from my family. He says, go to my land where I grew up, and you'll find a nice girl from there. He doesn't say specifically, go to my family. So that's a kasha on the Kli Yakar, but he's looking at it from with 20/20 hindsight. So he says, if Yitzchak were to marry somebody from that family, they're the same kind of idolaters. Al Kain Amar, and that says that's the reason why Avram said Asher Anochi Yoshe B'Kirbo. He says what I don't want to happen is for my mechutanim to live nearby. Because what's going to happen if my mechutanim live nearby? Okay. Viamari also says to Eliezer, Pentashivas b'ni shama, lest you leave my son to live there. If my son marries a girl from the Canaanites, since from the fact that I live close to them, my son will also live. You know, it's very nice to live. The wife wants to, the woman wants to live near her parents. My son's going to live near them. And then there's a concern that he's going to learn from their ways. And if he marries the daughters of Lavan and Besuel and lives there, I do have the exact same concern about Avodah Zarah. However, but if he marries a woman from there, and he lives here, and I got no problem. Ain't kan beis michush. There's nothing to be concerned about. Kimin lavan ubesuel lo yilmod. He's not going to learn anything from lavan ubesuel. Honestly, he may never even meet them in his whole life. Shari lo yadur etzlam, because he's not going to live near them. Umin akanani lo yilmod. And if the wife is not from the Kanani, he's also not going to learn from them. Ki lo yelo his arbus imem, because he's never going to have any social connection to them. I mean, maybe a business connection. We see that he has business connections, but a social connection, no. Even better, than like, oh, you don't want to, our daughters weren't good enough for you. We want to have nothing to do with you. And Avram is saying, that's what I want. And he says, there's another concern. He says, that is that the ways of the fathers are brought, are drawn, or the children are drawn to. was that davka ba'os and averos haboim mipahas achomer kachila v'zima v'kilos v'kina, right, sins that the father does, they impart over to their children. Okay, because they're of a physical nature, eating, sins of a sexual nature, etc. Jealousy, v'chol amidos ha'ra'os ha'nislin machomer, and all these kinds of physical wrongs. Nigayim elu mispashtim mispashtim me'avos lebanim v'toldosem kiyotz behem. I'm sure we all know people who are like, you know, especially if we know things about them that are negative. And I'm not obviously looking to open a Pandora's box of Lashon Hara. But there are people who have a certain kind of either personality or reputation. And as they say, the apple does not fall far from the tree for certain kinds of bed. I remember once there was actually a family that I knew where a number of the, you know, these were, you know, adults. One of them was a friend of mine's father. And I'm not saying that divorce is automatically an evil. Some cases divorce needs to happen, but sometimes you wonder. So this fellow who got divorced with my friend's father, all of his siblings got divorced. You know what? Their parents had also been divorced. So in other words, there's a certain thing about there are certain character traits which are taught. Not taught, like, you know, oh yes, you should be getting divorced. Obviously, the parents had them all get married. But the point was that there's something, I don't know if it's genetic, I don't know if it's just something that you see and you learn, but I know somebody, a guy who I knew in Forest Hills, he and his wife, I did two of their sons' brises, and then after that they got divorced. And I remember they were on very, very different levels of religious Jewish experience. And I remember his wife at one point talking to me about it, because her parents were divorced, and his parents were not, and she thought, sure, this is normal, this is the type of thing that, you know, you don't work your way through your problem, you just, you know, you end your marriage. Again, I don't know what was going on inside their household, but I remember that being, she came from a house of divorce, he did not. She wanted a divorce, he did not. And it was just it's reflective of this idea that I think he's referring to. Just in terms of things which are transmitted to the next generation. Aval kisha yisa. Oh, I'm sorry, did it already? I did it already, I'm sorry, I lost my place. Aval havodazara. Aval havodazara. Devarat toloi b'sichlo shel adam. When it comes to worshipping idols, this is something which is contingent in a person's own brain. Einom is pashet me'avos labanim. It's not automatically transmitted from parent to child. And Avram is a classic example. Avram's father was an idolater. And what's Avram? A monotheist. And Avram, of course, wants his child to be a monotheist as well. But he says, Kishlosha shutfin badam. There are three partners in a creation. Hachomer bam in av v'aim. The chomer comes from two of the partners, the father, and chomer meaning the physicality, comes from the father and the mother. So therefore, whatever deeds that the parents can transmit to their children are given over to the children. But faith, that comes from God. That comes from the other partner in creation. And that's in a person's intelligence. And God gives you a soul. And intelligence. This is not automatically given from parent to child. So Avram wanted to distance the Kenanim, who were guilty of all kinds of sins of a sexual nature, and all kinds of sins of the physical world which they were drawn to. Adam, zulas avodah zarah, other than avodah zarah. Okay, because everyone around Avram was doing avodah zarah; they were all worshiping idols. So Avram had to make a choice. Lavan and Besuel's problem was only avodah zarah. They weren't Canaanites. They weren't enmeshed in the sins of a sexual nature, which Avram was so concerned about from the family of Cham. And so he said, "Look, I'll deal with the idolatry. You know why? Because that's not necessarily going to be an influence." And as a matter of fact, what do we know about Rivka? What do we know about Rivka? That one of the things which I think Rashi mentions in next week's parsha we'll finish with this. Unfortunately, we're not going to get that. We can't get to everything. It's just we never have enough time. But one of the things that Rashi tells us in next week's parsha is that Esav gets married, he marries two daughters of the Benos Chiti. Okay, and then after that, immediately after that, it tells us that, I'm sorry, in that context, it tells us that they were a tremendous source of pain to Esav's parents. And then the very next pasuk tells us that Esav gets older, but his eyes are weaker from seeing. And one of the explanations that Rashi gives for why it was difficult for him to see was because of Oshnan Shel Elu, because of the smoke of Esav's wife's idolatry. And the question is, why didn't it affect Rivka? And the answer is, she grew up with it. Okay, so she was used to it. And it just goes to show that Rivka obviously did not follow in the ways of her parents when it comes to Avodah Zarah. So the Kli Yakar is harping on a point in which there is a tremendous amount of truth. So hopefully we see that Avram's point of Asher Anochi Yoshev B'Kirbo was saying, yeah, he just did not want to have the bad influence of Mechutanim living close. And as a matter of fact, we know about Yitzchak, that Yitzchak never left the confines of what we call Eretz Yisrael. And so whether he met Lavan or Basul, I have no idea if they ever came to visit the kids. I don't know. But certainly he never went to them. And so the influence, Avram was able to maintain the influence that he wanted to give to Yitzchak. You know, you can call it a sheltered environment or you cannot call it a sheltered environment, but at least that was the driving factor in Avram's looking for a wife for Yitzchak. Okay, there's a lot more to do, but unfortunately we are out of time. So we will call it an evening for tonight. I thank you very much for coming, and I wish everybody again a happy Thanksgiving and a wonderful rest of the week.